Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
It's the Cougs. It's Baylor. Saturday at TDECU Stadium. It's Senior Day. It's our Houston Blue game. Get ready for a night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, and unforgettable moments, because nothing beats the tradition, pageantry, and the roar, rah, rah, of the crowd at a Cougar football game. Tickets start at $15. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. Come early, be loud, wear blue as we pack the stadium for our final home game of the year, where we're celebrating our seniors. First 20,000 fans will receive a Houston Blue rally towel, compliments of Ford, Bud Light, UHAA, and ConocoPhillips. And our team will be wearing their new Houston Blue uniforms. Pair of tickets to caller number 3 to 713-780-3776.
They're pretty sick. I like them. They also got this thing called a Houston Blue Blast at Little Woodrow's. We might have to go try it after the show.
A Houston Blue Blast?
Yeah. It kind of looks like the one like the Astros tried, but there's a big price difference.
Do you know what's in the Houston Blue Blast?
Because
there was the Haterade. That's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
The $36 Haterade at Minute Maid Park, which I could not find.
Vodka?
Mm-hmm.
A dash of blue carousel? I think I said that wrong. Lemonade? Club soda? Sweet and sour and simple syrup.
That does sound like the Haterade.
Yeah, it sounds very similar to that. Yeah.
Well, listen, Cougs are just taking all the ideas around town. The Houston Blue, not to be confused with the H-Town Blue.
But it's only $5, not 30.
Yeah.
So.
That sounds like a deal. Anyway, Alex Bregman, former Astros third baseman, for now he's a free agent, wants $350 million per The Athletic's Ken Rosenthal. Wrote Rosenthal in a piece in The Athletic that came out today, "The Athletic's Tim Britton projects a 7-year, $189 million contract for free agent third baseman Alex Bregman. I suspect that Bregman and his agent, Scott Boras, are aiming higher, specifically at a deal closer to the 11-year, $350 million extension that Manny Machado signed with the San Diego Padres in February of 2023.
I really just don't think there's a market for that. For him at this point, because everyone's gonna be focused on Juan Soto. What that also might tell us is that because of Juan Soto, if this is what Alex Bregman wants, Alex Bregman might also do what we saw like Cody Bellinger and these guys do, where he might not have a contract at spring training. And I don't know if that will help or hurt the Astros, but I'm assuming it would hurt them, because like at some point the Astros do have to move on if they're going to. Like, Willie Adames is a guy we brought up the other day. Like, if you want to entertain the Willie Adames thing, and Bregman's like, well, it's just waiting and waiting and waiting. At some point, like, you got to make a move.
It feels like them saying that they are willing, or at least saying through sources, saying through baseball insiders, that they're willing to spend north of $200 million on Adames means that maybe they're going to come closer to meeting Boras halfway than we think. But also, at the same time, it does seem to be showing, well, we can move on if we want. It's weird. Both sides seem to be playing hardball a little bit too hard here.
But at the same time, they've also been largely positive about each other. Scott Boras and Dana Brown, and the reports of, you know, I remember Ari Alexander, I think it was, put out that story a couple weeks ago where it was like he talked to like 11 insiders and every single one of them predicted that he would resign with the Astros. And it's like, it's almost just like everyone thinks it's going to happen.
there does seem to be a lot of confidence in the Astros camp about this, but at the same time, when you hear a story like this and Rosenthal is pushing, I'm assuming something that he heard directly from Scott Boras, 11 years and $350 million is what they are shooting for. That's going to be hard.
It's going to be really challenging for him to get that. I mean, that's what's Juan Soto going to get? $500 million or something like that? You're going to give Bregman a contract that's even close to that out there? Like, it just feels like where baseball's at now. This is more of a baseball problem than it is an Alex Bregman or Scott Boras problem. The sport's in a tough spot. We just talked about the NBA ratings. Well, baseball ratings are not what you thought they were going to be. They only did 17 million on average viewers for the World Series. That's less than what the Astros-Dodgers got in 2017. So it didn't even – it was Yankees-Dodgers. It didn't even outrate the Astros-Dodgers World Series. And I went farther. Didn't get close to Cubs-Indians in 2016. It's like the sport just continues to go down. You've got all these regional markets, all these regional TV stations that are gone, are bankrupt, and so these teams have no money to spend.
Right.
Hell, the Astros have a lot less money to spend because of the Space City Home Network now. And it wasn't, you know, the infrastructure that it was before. So these contracts just don't – I just don't know if they're going to exist. I think it's one a year. Ohtani, last year. I guess Machado was last year too. So maybe two a year, but – two is Juan Soto and Garrett Cole. Like, I just – baseball's – I feel bad for the baseball players. It's not their fault, but
– it's Scott Boras' fault.
That's their commissioner's fault. He sucks his job.
Well, I think it's on the owners. I think the commissioner is a very convenient patsy for a lot of faceless, wealthy people who are rather cheap in the way that they operate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at the A's. Look how little money they spend. They have one of the worst products we've seen for years, and they still make lots of money every single year because of the ref splits that happen. And people think it's going to go up still for some reason after the next contract, which kind of blows my mind that people would pay more for national baseball games right now. I don't know why ESPN or Fox would do that. Like, I don't know what they – besides having live rights, like what you get out of it. But same with the NBA, and they just signed a huge contract with, you know, Amazon and all these – and ESPN – but, yeah, I don't think Alex is going to get close to that. I know he wants it, but I don't think you can start that slow and then be in a sport where it's slowly but surely dying financially and get that contract. They're not giving him out anymore.
I'm with you there. I think he's going to have a hard time getting north of 300. But I do feel like the Astros seem more willing to give him a contract that we all thought rather unlikely weeks ago. You know, we were thinking more, like a little bit north of Matt Chapman. Now I feel like they're willing to go north of 200, which is an interesting development given just how they have always operated. And also, if you're Jose Altuve, I wonder how you feel about, yes, keeping Alex Bregman, but potentially Bregman getting more.
I mean, I still think Altuve might have taken a pay cut on purpose.
Okay.
He could have got more money.
Not selfless.
That'd be the funniest thing if Altuve was like, we got to bring back Bregman. I mean, if we're not bringing back Bregman, what are we doing? And then he gets a dollar more than Altuve does, and Altuve's like, this is BS. I'm Jose Altuve.
Might be significantly more than a dollar. Yeah. We'll see.
If Bregman gets to like $230 million, would you rather have him at that price or Kyle Tucker at $300 million?
Good question. I feel like Bregman brings more to the table from an intangibles perspective, but I also realize the shelf life for Bregman is not the best.
When it was
just given his age?
Yeah, when it was Bregman $190 million, it's easily Bregman. But as you start to cross into the 200 territory and that gap between what Bregman and Tucker are going to get shrinks, I think I'd rather just pay Kyle Tucker.
Tucker hasn't done enough the last three postseasons.
That's very fair.
He had a big hit against the Phillies. He had a nice catch, I think, against the Phillies too. But for the most part, he has not done enough in the postseason. And I think that should be a pretty big factor in there. But I don't know. I don't know at this point. A decision, luckily, that I do not have to make. He is Joe. I am Paul. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass up next. Where were we at confidence-wise for some of the best Texans teams ever as they take on the Tennessee Titans after 11 games? And we'll play the audio of somebody on the afternoon show challenging me to a fight, which actually happened. I think we're going to have to parse the audio a bit. Stick around. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie, MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. What would the odds be on a fight with me and anybody else? Well, based off of a poll that Jeremy Branham put up, I believe anybody else would be the major favorite. And if this was a fight that was officially licensed by some sort of bout-making company, you know what? You'd be able to bet on it at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. They will double your initial deposit right away. And yeah, you might be watching a fight that's even worse than Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. You can still bet on it and at least make it somewhat entertaining. You could also say bet on Thursday Night Football featuring, oh boy, the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers are 3.5-point favorites. The over-under for this game is 37.5. I am tempted to take the under. Do I want to watch a game where I'm rooting for the under? I can deal with that if it's two teams that have good defenses and maybe suspect quarterback play. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
We were talking about where the Texans have been previously, the best teams in franchise history, when they've played 11 games. So we talked about how in 2011, they were coming off of a game where Matt Leinart, backup to Matt Schaub, got hurt. They were 8-3, for what it's worth. We also talked about how they beat the Lions for their 10th win in a 10-1 start that they had in 2012 before they lost 4 of 5 down the stretch, including the I think it was 4 of 6 down the stretch, including that Letterman jacket game.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Bring him back. Break the curse.
No. I don't think they should do that. But the other two best teams in franchise history were 2018 and 2019. Now, I remember 2018 after week 11, the Texans get this. They were 8-3, and they had just won their 8th straight game after an 0-3 start. And I remember confidence-wise, Houston Texans fans were very meh about that team.
I can't remember. Was it Deshaun? Like, was he just not playing to the standard that you think people were holding him to?
He was not lighting up the stat sheet.
That Dabo, you know what Dabo called him, Michael Jordan or whatever?
Correct. They were not convincingly beating teams, and they were playing teams that weren't very good largely over this stretch. And yeah. I think that no one was convinced because they did have a rather easy schedule. And no one checked back in after the 0-3 start. Because losing to the Patriots is one thing, but losing to the Titans and the Giants, that also was like, what? How the hell did that happen? Ultimately, they did finish that year with a 11-5 record, and then they lost in the playoffs. But confidence-wise, after week 11, I think people are more confident about this team than they were about that team, which is crazy because that team was in the midst of an 8-game winning streak.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that, like, you think back to Deshaun Watson, and it's interesting, like, I forgot that even though they only lost 5 games, the most they lost a game by that entire season was 7. Mm-hmm. And that was in week 1 to the Patriots. Yeah. And then the next one was 5 points. So pretty much every loss was within 1 touchdown. And so, like, you would think going into the postseason, you'd feel okay about the team where it was at, but that was definitely, I think I was like really about like a year plus when that, like, into working in local radio at the time when that happened. And that's really where I started, you know, hearing about the same old Texans. I felt like a lot.
Yeah, it was weird. 2011, 2012, there was a real interest. I think the whole city was excited about him, and it hasn't really been quite back. I think after the win over the Browns last year, it was back to a degree. And I think this year, the interest that we had during the offseason has cooled off a bit, even though this is a 7-4 team, because I think we all thought they were capable of a lot more. For what it's worth, they are 7-4, but yeah, they aren't finishing games the ways you want. 2019, the very next year, that was the other one of the four best teams in Texans history. going into week number 12, after 11 games, they were 7-4. They had just beaten the Colts 20-17. The problem was, even though they had beaten the eventual Super Bowl champion Chiefs earlier that year, 31-24, and they would go on to beat the New England Patriots in that week 12 game, the defending Super Bowl champs, 28-22. I remember on the outside looking in, people being a little bit down because they had gotten absolutely killed by the Baltimore Ravens off of a bye week, 41-7. This is when Lamar Jackson was really strangling the hell out of the eventual MVP he won that year. I remember listening to that game on satellite radio while driving back from Pullman, Washington to Seattle, Washington, after having watched a Washington State-Stanford game, and I was just my jaw was dropping about what I was hearing. I did not watch it, but I know that Lamar Jackson was God himself in that game. He had 4 touchdown passes and ran for 79 yards.
Yeah, that was such a strange game. And you're right. Like, you're not going to believe in a team after those 41-7, especially that late in the season. Like, at least this year's Texans, it was early in the season. So by the end of the year, you can say by the end of the year, it's like, it's just one blip on the radar. But for that to happen, 41-7 in week 11, like you said, off of a bye. Like, that's for me, that time is when I started to lose a little bit of faith of what I thought Deshaun Watson was going to be. And even though we would have to wait another, 10 regular season games, also felt like it was for sure the end of Bill O'Brien. Like, you just can't overcome that stuff. And, again, same old Texans, but that's worse. I mean, to have a young franchise quarterback and to get embarrassed like that coming off a bye week is brutal.
Honestly, the worst part was the fact that 2 weeks later they beat the Patriots on Sunday Night Football, and then they turn around the next game and they basically have the worst game imaginable. They lose 38-24 to the Denver Broncos.
Yep. Yeah,
that quarterbacked by,
is that the guy who can't beat out Tommy DeVito right now?
Yes.
Drew Lock.
Drew Lock, 309 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Right. That also was the same game where I believe Kareem Jackson scored a touchdown, and I think Bill O'Brien got into it with a fan.
Yes, that was the Suck 2 game. I was there. I was not getting yelled at.
That's good.
But I was there. And that's when I was like, this party is over. Like, all the good vibes from last week, this is done.
For some reason, I thought the You Suck 2 was much earlier in the season. I forgot it was that late in the year.
Yeah. December 8th.
This fan base had more confidence in 11-12 after 11 games. This fan base had less confidence after the 2 O'Brien years, where they were in a similar situation. There have been 4 teams that have been really good in this franchise's history. I don't think that the history really matters at all here, but I think things have felt more down before, and they can, I believe, play at a higher level that gives them a shot in the playoffs. But I still need to see it, and we're not seeing that progress, and that's what's been really frustrating.
Yeah, because you don't want to be having, if we're like on a scale of 1 to 10, kind of feels like the vibe I'm getting is, at most in these 4 seasons, like the confidence was like a 6 in any of these 4 seasons.
I think 2012 was higher.
11-12, it was 12 higher. Especially with the 10, they were 10-1.
Yeah.
In 12, it was an 8.
Okay.
They had lost to the Packers on Sunday Night Football in convincing fashion. That was the game where Brian Cushing got hurt. But I think it was an 8.
Even
12.
I thought that they could win the Super Bowl in 2012.
Yeah.
That's like probably school. The only time I thought they could win the Super
Bowl. They hadn't played the Patriots yet.
Exactly.
hadn't played the Patriots yet.
But this year, going into the season, the expectations were so high. They got out of control.
Yeah, they did. But look, there's still 7 weeks left. Like, there's still plenty of time for them to get back on the right track. But C.J. Stroud's not playing well. And we have on the Killer Bees a man by the name of @Texans commenter from X who joins. He, to his credit, I think has done a really good job building his brand online. Right? I mean, you go to that account, you're going to see every single graphic about the Texans. You're going to see a lot of quotes said by the Houston Texans.
Maybe. I have other thoughts, but I need to hear who throws the fight first before I start throwing shots. I'm trying to be delicate until I hear, because I agree with what you're saying. I have other thoughts, but If he challenges you to a fight, I will unleash
this. This is from the Killer Bees yesterday. Joel was out, so it was just Jeremy Branham and at Texans commenter. I believe I was challenged to a fight.
Garrett's in with us, Blessing or Stressing. HoustonStressings.com on IG at Houston Stressing, Texan commenter on TikTok and Twitter. But maybe better known for fighting with Paul Gallant today. Gary got into a Twitter spat with Paul. We understand that not everybody has Twitter. I think I saw all of this. I'm not sure. It looked like it started last night. I didn't really see it until earlier today. But Garrett, Paul Gallant went toe-to-toe in the Twitter ring. What happened here? What went on?
Well, I think like the end play here is a rough and rowdy, but we'll kind of start at square one.
I guess it started with you quote tweeting this NFL top five passing
yards.
You say
this starts in a rough and rowdy fight?
It could potentially be that way. I mean, we'll see how it naturally plays out.
I mean, I'm
messing around.
Jake Paul and Mike Tyson had a fake fight on Friday.
Yeah, we could make, you know, a couple thousand bucks off of it and call it a day, you know?
I think you're probably selling yourself too high. Maybe a couple hundred. It's probably what we're going to see here a little bit.
I give it 10 spot to watch it.
Hey, yeah. There we go. $10 right there.
Highest bidder, $10. But yeah, so looking at it.
So did I get challenged to a fight there? I don't think I did. I will say, at Texans commenter posted that video and did seem to put it out on the internet that this should happen.
Yeah. At least there's actually content he was part of. But.
Whoa, Joe.
I have thoughts.
Let's hear your thoughts.
Those are my thoughts. At least he's actually part of this content that he posts without crediting people. Look. It's my biggest pet peeve. It's why I don't like it. Brad O does it. All these people who like want to be in the media, all they do is steal content. That's all they do. They steal content. They go viral for it. Dove Kleiman, like those are the worst of it. But like, I don't agree with it. I would tell him to his face, like any of these guys. I think it's stupid. Like, you're stealing content and you're blowing up for it. At least he's actually on the radio now, like, I guess.
I mean, that's where my thoughts are. I mean, very low energy. And listen, not everyone can be me on the air. I get it. But I need a little bit more from a video that you are posting where you're basically putting out into the ether that a fight needs to happen. And this puts me in an uncomfortable position because, I mean, can I say no? I have no idea how tall he is. I have no idea
he looks tall.
How much he weighs. I agree with that. He does look tall.
Yeah, he looks tall. I think the weight, by looking at the video, looks similar.
He does not wear skin-tight clothing like me.
That's why I say similar.
See, we don't know here.
What's he hiding?
Right, exactly, Sean. I mean,
Paul's not hiding anything.
I'm not hiding anything. My boobs are out for all the world to see. As are my twig-like arms. You know, I'm more of a core guy. Like, it's all about my pecs and my butt. Here's the thing for this. If he's going to do the challenge, he has to do a better challenge than that. You're on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I need a little bit more gusto behind it before I can take this seriously, right?
Yeah. We need a real fight.
Because it felt like
a real fight challenge.
Well, it felt like Jeremy was kind of nudging him into it. He was joking at first, and then BMAC tried to trap him.
I was going
to
say, I think this is a BMAC joint. I think this is mostly Stressons was just making a passing comment about it, making light of the, you know, kerfuffle that you and him had on the X streets.
Mm-hmm.
And BMAC took the wheel, and he was like, no, I actually want to see this fight.
Yeah, BMAC was like, it was a good catch by BMAC. He was like, wait a minute, because maybe Jeremy might not know what Rough and Rowdy is.
It sounded like Jeremy was already pulling, and he was also pulling up the tweets.
Like, so Rough and Rowdy, scroll, if you don't know what it
having
is.
Having to scroll so much, because they kept going back and forth.
Yeah.
I'll say this, the back and forth was dumb. He put out a dumb tweet saying that CJ Stroud's playing well because he's top five in passing yards. I would hope so. He's one of eight quarterbacks that's played 11 games this year. You better be in the top five when it comes to total passing yards, which are a number that do not matter. They don't. Passing yards do not tell me whether or not a guy is having a good season. Yards per attempt is a much better barometer, which, by the way, CJ Stroud is 20th in. Patrick Mahomes is 22nd. He brought that up saying no one's talking about Patrick Mahomes' struggles this year. They are. I don't want to turn this into the me versus him on the Twitter argument, because I think it was a waste of everybody's time. It was a dumb thing to put out there. And the thing that bothers me, Joe, about some of the things that some of these guys post is I can't deal with the positive, like, you're putting your hair in a ponytail, essentially, yeah, yeah, and you know whatting a guy who is struggling, because you know that it's going to get a lot of clicks and retweets because you are being so ridiculously positive that a lot of the stans out there, specifically the younger kids, are going to like it. And hey, you know what? It does work online. It does work. Credit to you. I can't do it. I just can't. I wish I had that bone in my body, because I would pander so hard to all these people out there to blow up my following. But to bring it back to this, if we want to take this a little bit step further for charity or something like that, first off, someone's saying athletically, did he play in high school? Did he play college football? Someone's saying he was a D1 receiver.
Oh.
Because I was going to say, like,
you should put that on his bio.
I feel like that would be in his bio. Like, I feel like if you play D1 football, you put that in your bio.
Okay.
Right?
Truly?
That just feels like a rule of thumb.
I don't know. Someone, and Jeremy put up a poll, 75% believe that Houston Stresses would win this fight.
Counterpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy's followers don't like you.
Why not?
And don't believe you can fight. Because remember, they did this whole bracket last year of all these people that would fight.
A lot of people don't think I can fight.
And you got knocked out in the first round.
I think I went further than the first round.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. A lot of people don't think I can fight. To be honest, I don't know if I can fight. I've fought before.
Here's what I do know.
In the 2-4 lifetime, I got one knockout. That was fun.
Is that if you were in a fight, most likely what would happen is, if it was against a Houston media person, is they would look like Mike Tyson at the end of the first round, because most of us are out of shape.
Yeah, but he's not. I think he's younger than me.
Yeah, you're not old, though.
35. I mean, I feel like, just given the way that he tweets, he's probably in his early 20s.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of glazing.
Lots of glazing.
Maybe do a new segment, glazing or blazing. I don't know.
Oh, steal from the stealer.
I like that, glazing or blazing.
I might do that on the live stream, because I do feel now, and again, I'm making this a little bit too much about me, but
no,
I was, I think, kind of challenged to a fight on the afternoon show's airwaves.
I would say you were. Not that like it had to happen kind of a challenge, but just it was like a soft sell. It was just like, hey, you know. A little charity match here coming up.
Can we get more energy from him? Can someone give him some cocaine before he goes on there next time?
I was thinking, like,
I don't know if he actually offered a good argument in his defense for the dumb tweet. Like, but I need more gusto, because he was saying, "Oh, Paul, you yell all the time." Yeah, I do, but I'm really entertaining when I do it. See, this is an entertainment game. This isn't a who's right and who's wrong. And by the way, you're already wrong. So if you're gonna come in here, we'll come in here like Stephen A. Smith. Huh? Because this is what I'm wondering. Like, listen, he does very well on the internet. I'm not taking that away from him. He's better at X than I am, by far. Probably better than me on TikTok. All I'm saying is, you're coming into our jungle. You got to play it by our rules. Mm-hmm. And you got to try to entertain the people. Is that guy entertaining? Is he? I don't know. To me, that's a drip. This is fall asleep. I'm out in the backyard on my porch by my chiminea falling asleep.
By your what?
Yeah.
What's a chiminea?
I don't know. There's some listener to the old JNR show back on 610. This old man, Sam, who would call in all the time. He'd listen on his back porch next to a chimney. I think it's like one of those little fireplaces. Shout out to Sam.
Okay,
still
okay, okay. I was like, well, like, does anyone actually call it that? I was going to be very concerned.
I don't get the constant positivity for a quarterback who's clearly struggling. And this guy is saying, well, a sophomore slump and struggling aren't the same thing. It's the same thing. It's a guy struggling the second year. What the hell is that? Oh, it's a sophomore slump.
Well, people don't want to turn on him. And I don't think, like the Twitch was having a conversation earlier about, like, the media turning on CJ Stroud. I don't think we're anywhere near that. He's still having a okay year. Like, his numbers really, like, they're not on pace to be that different.
It's not turning on him, though. This exactly. is what drives me crazy. I didn't turn on D'Amico Ryans. This guy was bringing that up like I was using that for clickbait. No, no. I think we can ask real questions about D'Amico Ryans. Will he ever be one of the best coaches in the NFL? Why would you think he's one of them now? Why? Mm-hmm. Nothing that they – this year, week to week, what has improved? What has gotten better? Things are supposed to get better over the course of a year. They haven't happened. Hell, Sean, can we play this audio? D'Amico Ryans, yesterday at his press conference, talked about how that's the biggest goal this time of the year.
It's just being on the details, really. You know, coaches, players, everybody being dialed in of not getting complacent, but it's a matter of, at this moment of the season, like, it's about growing and getting better. So it's always at the forefront of my mind, always speaking that, preaching that to the guys about not letting the smallest detail slip, because in these games, the more important they get, everybody knows what you're doing schematically. Like, you have a full season, full body of work. The film is there for people to watch. Now it's about how on the details are you? How are you on executing your job to the best of your ability? Even if they know what you're doing, can you still out-execute your opponent and go make the play?
Do you feel like you're right there, hitting that stride that you're talking about, or what would you like to see in order to be there?
Yeah, we're growing. We took a step last week, and we'll look to take a step this week. So we're growing in the right direction as a team.
It was a baby step, and you're talking about the details. The details have been missed a lot, yep, over and over, and everybody across the United States of America who follows football sees it. It's why no one is taking this team seriously, which is why you can ask questions about D'Amico Ryans and why you can ask questions about C.J. Stroud. Bring in passing yards into an argument about Stroud and the way he's playing. Of course he's going to be top five when he is one of eight quarterbacks to have played 11 games. By the way, he's fourth. So, like, he's in the middle of the pack for all quarterbacks this year based off of statistics and what we have seen with our eyeballs. And he can get better. We all know he's capable of that. But I don't understand how pushing back against that, let's be honest,
yeah,
glazing tweet about passing yards is why C.J. Stroud actually isn't struggling. I don't understand how that's throwing CJ under the bus. And I don't understand how anyone thinks that this guy did anything to make himself correct with that post, which I highlighted because I hate people on social media, specifically at NFL rookie Watt with an X, who put these things out there that are so effing positive with grandiose statements and a smirk and like a flex at the end, as if you're right. And anyone who questions you is completely talking out of their ass. We all effing see it. And I had a bunch of people coming after me. Oh, you slayed him. Did he? With that low energy fight challenge? Drip radio. Well, this is afternoons, big boy.
Also, it's, you know, this is what the dumbest part of the status ball. This is why, like, I saw it happening and I was like, think about, I don't want to be involved in this. Because
I don't either.
You can't win arguments with people in terms of their favorite players when they use a statistic to validate it, but then there's terrible players in front of them, and they don't want to hear it. Who is third and fourth in passing yards this year? Kirk Cousins and Geno Smith. So C.J. Stroud being fifth, if you're going to use that stat, you then also have to say that Geno Smith is a better quarterback than C.J. Stroud. And you don't want to do that. Like, no one's going to do that. No one's going to say that Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than C.J. Stroud. Like, we're not, like, you can make the Jared Goff argument. Like, I'll hear that one because the way they're playing for the most part this season. But, like, I hate – that's actually my biggest pet peeve, and I actually think it's more of a baseball problem, but it's slowly dripping into the football space, is the cherry-picking of stats.
Yeah.
Of what people try to validate certain players as. And it's like, it's okay to say CJ's not having his best year, and it's okay to have unwavering confidence that, as D'Amico said there, even though it was, I agree with you, a baby step, that they're taking the steps forward, and that by the end of the season, you think C.J. Stroud and the Texans are going to be back into Super Bowl contention because who's on their schedule and how they're going to keep playing, that they're 5-1 with Nico Collins. Like, that's the stat. Like, if you're gonna glaze, like, look at the stats with Nico Collins and say it's not C.J.'s fault that Nico got hurt.
Do the glazing we did.
Yes. 5-1 Texans, dude, baby.
They're 5-1 with Nico Collins. And yeah, and you mentioned the cherry picking. I say this to everybody. I learned this when I was 12 because there's this football website I started reading. It was called coldhardfootballfacts.com. I was very into it. And this website would say, this is before all the advanced metrics and things came out, they would talk about how yards per attempt is really a good barometer to determine how well a quarterback is playing, because it shows how aggressive he's being with the amount of throws he's making. Because a lot of guys can be in the, you know, the Sam Bradford range when it comes to completion percentage. But in terms of actually making things happen, is this quarterback trying to make things happen? Is he trying to stretch the field? So I want to say I'm not trying to diminish what at Texans commenter is doing. Okay? What's his name? Garrett? I'm not trying to do that. I am not also backing away from this fight. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. I'd like some more details, and I would like them to put together a proper wrestling promo, okay? We're radio. We know what we are. You know, it's not exactly the not exactly the best day for radio anymore. Are we above a publicity stunt like this?
We could have a charity. No. We could have like a charity boxing card out there in the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
Get a couple of fights out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who I'd be going after.
Listen, I'm saying is we're not above putting content out, okay? So I'm not turning this down. Like you call out a person from Boston, he does have to show up. Like this is sort of how it works. But I would also like him to come up with a compelling argument as to why CJ Stroud is not doing well, because I know he can't do it. I know he can't. He does not have it in him.
I'm just thinking of the fight card now. I'm sorry, Paul. Blank versus Ass Man. Main event. Yeah, come on, I'll give you the main event.
They don't like each other either.
No,
I mean, Jake's on Riot. Joel's a Rockets legend. He's a two-time champion.
Part of me
that's
thinks
a bigger
that,
draw.
Like, it's just to be you versus Jake because of the Riot. Winner gets to be on Riot.
No, I like Jake.
Yeah, no, there's a size mismatch there. It wouldn't really work.
But no, I'm intrigued.
I
consider myself somewhat athletic. Whatever.
Once again, we have a former professional boxing referee on our staff.
What?
Yeah. BMAC can handle it.
The weird thing is, I truly was getting texts from random people about this yesterday. Because I was like, the more I get into this argument, the more I'm going to come off like an a-hole. Like, I get it. I am who I am, you know? I'm an entertaining a-hole. But then I got people texting me like, I'll train you for this. And I was like, okay, well, now I clearly have
that's
to.
That's too far.
Now no, I clearly have to. Well, I'm not opposed to it.
You got Mick in your texting you.
You can't win, right? He's got the eye of the tiger. He's on X stealing people's posting videos that aren't. I mean, he's posting things, and he's got the blissful optimism of a 23-year-old. He's got that eye of the tiger. You can't win, Rock. You can't win. Anyway,
I think you can win.
I don't know. I truly don't know.
I'd be willing to fight any 60-year-old on the undercard. Any 60-year-old, like Jake Paul.
You would? Yeah.
Anyone.
Yeah.
As long as you're 60-plus.
I mean,
there's a couple 60-year-olds I can name for you.
I know where you go with that one. He probably thinks I'm 60. That's the worst part of all. And the worst part is, since I'm a radio host, he's right. This is how it is.
Yeah, you're just the grays. You're fine.
So you can't see as many of them now, though, right?
No. Well, because you're shaving.
Yeah, it's because I'm hiding them.
Yeah. If you fully shaved, like, there'd be none left.
The peak moment of last night where someone was saying, Paul, you're a douche because you have a douche stash. And this person clearly was not capable of growing a stash. So then I revealed to him like why I'm growing out a mustache, because my dad had cancer 23 years ago and it's November. And since he got radiation on his nose, he can no longer grow a mustache. This is my way of paying homage to him.
I didn't know that.
And I just don't really talk about it a lot. And the guy responded like, oh. Made my night.
So I got him.
Anyway, it is Galata George. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Thank you for allowing me to make the show all about me for the last 30 minutes. We got garbage time next. Stay put.
OAthletic, OAthletic.com. Hey, guess what, Paul? They have boxing classes at OAthletic. If you need to take some there, you can sign up for free at OAthletic or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, whatever you want to try. They offer over 100 classes per week. You can sign up for a personal trainer as well, 1 to 5 times a week. They will work around your schedule to find one of the trainers that will help you with your goals, whether you want to go before you go to work, after, whatever it is, they will find a way to make it work for you. Don't wait till 2025 to start working on your goals. Work on it now at OAthletic. Check them out, oathletic.com and 767 North Shepherd in the Heights.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Last chance to dance, Gallant and George. He's Joe and Paul. So, this is a funny text. My money is on you, Paul. Years ago, my uncle told me never to fight a gay man. All you could do is lose. Hey. We don't know that for sure. I might still be in the closet. We don't know. Anyway.
I appreciate that text and that you laugh at it. Especially because we know it's not true. So.
Oh, do we?
Yeah. Which part? I don't
Joe,
know.
Joe, you're looking very handsome today.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
Sean, you're looking handsome today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sam, I don't know. You know, not my cup of tea. I'm just kidding.
No mustache.
That's true.
Oh, Paul and Sam—they're like the same types.
Mm-hmm. Sam just started paying attention. Welcome to the party. All right, garbage time. Let's hit it.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Class action lawsuits have been filed by customers seeking compensation from Netflix's failure to deliver the Paul Tyson fight. So I get it. Netflix was unable to consistently deliver that fight.
Yeah.
However, I gotta say, we all knew it was gonna happen.
If a bar didn't buy it through then they probably actually weren't legally allowed to run it, so they probably can't sue them. Like bars, I would get, but like at home, you'd have to prove that you bought Netflix just for this. Well, then you're a sucker. So you don't deserve to win any money.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This ain't the thing to buy Netflix for. Netflix.
No.
I have Netflix so I can rewatch Breaking Bad over and over again. But I actually get it for free through my phone plan.
I was thinking about starting Breaking Bad. I just started Jack Ryan, though.
Breaking Bad's way. You've never done Breaking Bad?
No. I want to rewatch it.
Yeah. If you've never seen Jack Ryan before, you should start that. I'm deciding to do all Paramount Plus shows now. So we're starting with where I left off with, what's that show?
One of the years? One of the Yellowstone years?
No. Mayor of Kingstown.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of crime, those Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce burglaries might be part of a transnational crime ring. The NFL released a statement today telling players to watch out for transnational crime rings. And by transnational, I mean from other countries. This has nothing to do with their gender. They're coming apparently from South America. Huh.
This is a strange story because it's not just obviously the NFL, but Bobby Portis from the Milwaukee Bucks, Mike Conley Jr. of the Timberwolves. Like, that's...
What a group of players.
Like, Conley happened while he was at the Vikings game.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was telling someone about this. I was like, this isn't, like, unheard of for... normally, it's, like, soccer players this happens to, because when you see them at a game, well, you know they're not at their house, so you rob their house. It's not the most complicated scheme, I will say. But, yeah,
transnational.
International?
Sounds so scary.
Do we not have a word for international?
I don't know why they just say international.
Does it mean they're living here now?
I don't know.
Like,
maybe?
The plans coming from South America?
It's a good question.
Also, no, the security business? About to boom. All these players in these sports are going to have to be buying 4 or 5 cops.
Watch this make them take the border more seriously now. It's like, now they're robbing the rich.
Sports kind of rule the world. And if the athletes are first, you wonder who's next.
More in garbage time. Remember how everyone was saying that Caitlin Clark has pretty privilege?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as an allegedly gay man, I don't know if I can comment on this, but Cameron Brink is going to be in the 2025 Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. And I feel like if Caitlin Clark's popularity was about her looks, she'd probably look a little more like Cameron Brink. Just a thought.
Yes, I tend to agree with that.
I think like Sonny Hostin, one of the like 73 most idiotic things that she said this year, one of them was that Caitlin Clark has pretty privilege. And not to say Caitlin Clark's unattractive by any means, but
yeah, but
Cameron Brink is like an actual supermodel playing basketball.
Yeah, it's just a reason for people to not like Caitlin Clark. For some reason, Cameron Brink doesn't get this level of disdain. It's interesting.
Is Jay Leno the new Norbert from The Naked Gun? For those who don't know, Norbert was famously played by O.J. Simpson when he was lovable. If you watch The Naked Gun, Norbert is constantly getting just the bleep beaten out of him. Jay Leno has had a lot of accidents of late. He got burned in a car fire. He broke bones in a motorcycle accident. And in the most recent Mr. Magoo-esque endeavor, he fell down a 60-foot hill at the Hampton Inn because he did not want to take the long way down a 1-mile road while walking to go get some food. He instead walked up a steep embankment, and oh my God, his face is half black and blue.
What happened to him? Why is Jay Leno staying out of Hampton Inn? Like, did he something weird's going on? Maybe he got kicked out of the Illuminati or something?
Whoa. Easy, easy.
But it's...
Is this all the karma for stealing Marley. Conan's job, finally Ooh. Catching up with him?
But, my gosh, his face, like... You don't see boxers' faces look like this.
No, I'm bewildered by yeah. how... It's half of his face.
Yeah.
How many rocks did that side of his face hit?
Why is he staying at the Hampton Inn?
That's I know. Another great question.
He's worth $500 million.
Well, maybe he's not. Million?
Oh my. What if he lost it all?
He's got all those cars.
What if one of these transnational citizens robbed his house?
He'd have insurance. That'd be fine.
I think it's more likely that maybe he owes money to people.
He does have a lot of cars.
Yeah.
He is old. Could be that, as Junior Marcos brings up. Well, the elderly, what? I mean, they do have the, you know, the life alert.
Help, I found yeah, it and yeah, I can't get fall, up. When they fall in the shower. Not
while walking down a steep embankment next to the Hampton Inn.
And yeah. he's 60. It's not like he's 90.
Yeah, that's also true. Get a taxi.
Yes, also that. Why are you walking?
You get
Uber, taxi. Hell, be like John Granato. Ride your bike to work.
That was crazy.
Yes.
You rode his bike to work?
Yeah.
Yes. I walked into the area, into the bullpen area today, and there's a bike. I'm like, huh, that's strange.
I even in common, like, who is
I assumed.
Respect.
I assumed it was the intern.
Seth Payne used to do that.
John said it was his.
Yeah, he asked me what the weather was like because he's biking home.
Yeah, I was like, that's a weird question.
Yeah.
Just wanted to flex it, that's why. And on that note, guys, that's going to wrap up today's edition of Gallant and George. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. Big thanks to Joe George, our texters, YouTubers, Twitchers, caller, and even to @Texans commenter. More gusto next time with the fight promo. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN. 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.